Important dates in Christian history. 1830. Charles Finney's urban revivals begin and introduce techniques that decisively affect later mass evangelism in America. Finney's innovations included the anxious bench, a forerunner to altar calls, and the use of emotional manipulation to elicit a decision for Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of liberals, are you Lenting? This is Wretched Radio. Can you say Lenting? Are you Lenting? Are you gerunding? Are you doing the Lent thing?
Yeah, that sounds better.
Question, where does the Bible teach that there is a season of 40 days where we should fast, give things up, or utilize what is a very special time of the year for Christians to promote a very progressive political agenda? The answer is you're not going to find it. If you take the time to read the history of Lent, specifically fasting, you'll notice that it has become an institution that has really morphed over the years, predominantly, of course, in the Roman Catholic Church. It started out as just a day of fasting. It then became 40 days, modeled after Jesus in the wilderness throughout the Middle Ages. More prescriptions were given. It took on different significance, and it would involve forgiveness and plenary indulgences in the Reformation era. Well, Roman Catholics are still Lenting, so are Anglicans. Now, not the same way, so let's make sure we remember there's still a difference between Catholics and Protestants. Methodists will participate in a Lenten season. Lutherans love Lenten season because Lutherans, and I can't say definitively about Methodists, but Lutherans have a church calendar every year, and they have preaching pericopes every year. It is laid out on this Sunday. This is going to be the focus. And it typically revolves around the larger events in the life of Jesus. And so there'll be a Sunday dedicated to Jesus in the temple as a 12-year-old boy. And the readings will revolve around that. And they work through a church calendar. And of course, part of the church calendar would be Lent. And Protestant denominations, some of them, they will do church services every Wednesday. Some will do Monday, Thursday, when it's what we call Holy Week, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. But the question is, where's that in the Bible? And the answer is, you're not going to find that prescription. And I was giving it some thought because I have free time. That this movement, this push for Lent that we see, and there is kind of a resurgence in Lenten activity, where we kind of show the world that we're doing something special for Lent, which I think Jesus said is a bit of a Pharisaical no-no. There seems to be, if you will, a little bit of a trend toward Lenting. And I was reading through, this is from Lent2025.com. It was signed by about 100 liberals, the Jim Wallaces, the Shane Claibornes, etc., we need to practice Lent in our time. The headline is Returning to Jesus, Practicing Lent in Our Time, an encouragement to celebrate the Lenten season. By the way, this is so horribly butchered. Quote from this particular presentation on why we should celebrate Lent. Here's what it's come for the liberals like Jim Wallace, who would have said just a year or two ago that Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. But now it's okay if he's involved. Here's what this particular presentation said. As we anticipate this sacred season and Holy Week to follow, let us recall the humble procession of our Lord on a donkey, confronting the imperial autocratic power of the Roman Empire with its domestic religious collaborators. In that conflict, the manipulated crowd cried out, "We have no king but Caesar." Let us be clear in proclaiming that in this hour, our ultimate loyalty is to Jesus Christ, transcending any partisan agendas. Why didn't he talk like that a year or so ago? Well, I think that's pretty obvious. Nevertheless, it got me to thinking about Lent and why people might be attracted to it and what I'm reading that people use Lent for. And I think that it falls underneath a category of systems that attempt to put an end to the dualistic mindset that most of us are inclined to possess, where we think dualistically. You've got religion on the one side. You've got reality on the other. You've got faith. You've got facts. You've got ministry and you've got secular living. Well, that is not the way the Bible describes it. All of life is about Jesus Christ. You as a Christian do everything in a Christian way. You don't have to do Christian things to be doing Christian things. Why? Because you're doing things as a Christian. That's what makes it a Christian thing. Your entire life is baked in Jesus. The problem is that we tend to not recognize that and think that through and apply it and enjoy it and grow in it and receive greater and greater assurance from it. We have a tendency to separate. And so all of these movements historically that have attempted to make your entire life feel like you're walking in the presence of God, it goes back to the desert fathers, the mystics who tried to promote this, everything's got, I think you could even put the monastic movement underneath this umbrella. So you got to go there and you got to just be doing religious things all the time so that you're like really a Christian. We see this movement today. The latest manifestation of it is John Mark Comer, practicing the presence of God, which is really just a regurgitated desert father mystical approach to Christendom. But the goal in it is to like, okay, I've got to be always Christian, or I've got to do things to revitalize my walk. I think that is why we see the success of contemporary Christian music. You go out and you do your life, you get a little downtrodden, you get beat up by the world. Well, come on in to the concert and we're going to get you whipped up and we're going to get you feeling good. And then out you go and your tank runs out. You got to go back in to get revitalized. I think that is what Lent is for some people. And I think that dedicating a season to really get spiritual, I think is to communicate that most of your life probably isn't. That you spend the rest of the year then getting depleted, but Lenten season, it re-spiritualizes you, it re-energizes you, and back you go, but you run out. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life, we have means that are given to us to grow us and to strengthen us and to encourage us. We have those means. They're prescribed for us in Acts 2, 42 and 43. So preaching, we go to preaching and it does feed us. But these systems that are intended to like really get you feeling spiritual, that's not the normative Christian life. The Christian life isn't trying to see how high you can get. It is walking step by step in the footprints of your Savior. That is the Christian life. And I think Lent for many is almost needed because they don't realize that every single second of every single day is Christian. They are walking with the Lord. The Lord is walking with them. They might not be thinking about it, should more often, but they're probably not thinking about it. And so what happens? A dualistic mindset develops. So now I need to go do those religious things to demonstrate I'm a Christian and to feel good about being a Christian and to have some strength. You know what? My fast, it was amazing. Oh man, it was so spiritual. Now I feel really good. Well, fasting is not one of those means of growth that God prescribes. Preaching, teaching, worshiping with your brothers and sisters, praying together, taking Lord's table together. Those things grow you. Why? Because it all involves the cognitive process of using your brain to process truth, which then gets disseminated into your heart. Lent is not a biblical prescribed means of doing that. And I think it represents this disconnect that happens. The book that I'm working on right now, it's going to be out next year, I think, next year. It's called Lord Overall. And it's designed to show that you don't have to have a system. You don't need to go to the rock concert. You don't need to put ashes on your forehead. You don't need to fast from meat on Fridays, whatever that's all about. No, it's walking with Jesus every single day. That's the Christian life. And as long as I just brought up books, don't forget Greg Giffords' book. It is coming out. You can pre-order this bad boy. I can't wait for this book to come out. I absolutely cannot wait, because it's going to help so many Christians wade their way through the deep waters of the mental health industrial complex. What do we do with these diagnoses? What do we do with these medications that they're prescribing our kids? Is there a better way? The book is called Lies My Therapist Told Me. You can pre-order it now. I'll give you the address for our website, but it's nothing but a link to take you to all of the options, because we're not promoting this book to make money from it. We're promoting this book because we want to promote this book. It is long overdue. It's called Lies My Therapist Told Me. You can find it. Jimmy, tell everybody where they can find this thing.
FortisInstitute.org/lies.
That's exactly what I meant to say right there. Just making sure you're still with us there. FortisInstitute.org/lies. You can pre-order it, and it will be shipped to you from wherever, and it will help you to walk through these issues. FortisInstitute.org/lies. This is Wretched Radio.
Are you looking for biblical answers to life's toughest questions? Are you tired of shallow solutions that don't lead to real change? Welcome to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford.
If you're dating someone that's not really convinced that Jesus rose from the dead, like hit the eject button. What are you doing? That's dangerous, because they're not actually a Christian. They don't believe in the gospel.
Every week, Dr. Gifford brings you deep, practical wisdom from God's word, showing how scripture provides the framework for genuine transformation in your life, in your family, and in your walk with Christ. Whether you're struggling with difficult relationships or battling addictive habits, or just simply seeking to grow deeper in your faith, you'll find rock-solid biblical guidance that points you to Christ. Transformed is not just another Christian podcast. It's your weekly appointment with biblical truth. Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's available at Fortis Plus and on all major podcast platforms. You can find out more about Transformed and Dr. Greg Gifford now at FortisInstitute.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle, and there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work, and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. The Fortis Plus app, daily videos, podcasts, director's cuts, news, completely free. All of this happens because of gospel partners just like you. Our gospel partners are the ones that get it. They see what we're doing, standing firm on biblical truth, strengthening churches, and helping people think biblically about everything going on in our upside down world. And that's why we want to ask you, if you're not already a gospel partner, we would love for you to join us. Maybe you've been listening for a while, and maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org, and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Because God's people disobeyed, he sent them into exile. The book of Ezra tells us of Israel's return under Ezra's leadership and preaching, and how Israel underwent a period of intense reformation. When you experience divine chastisement, look to Ezra to see that God's discipline is meant for your restoration and reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Talk about rude. I wish I'd quit interrupting myself. This is Wretched Radio. Was going to talk about this, but then I interrupted myself to tell you about Dr. Greg Gifford's upcoming book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, and felt compelled to talk about that. We'll get back to this. But in the meantime, because I interrupted myself, that. What is that? It's a video that Ray Comfort sent to me. We were talking a couple of weeks ago, and I was sharing with him that Greg Gifford's book is going to be explosive. Lies My Therapist Told Me could blow a big hole into the, think of the mental health industrial complex as a big battle cruiser in the ocean. This is going to be a missile. Now, it might not take that bad boy down, but it's going to put a dent in the side of all of these pseudoscientific diagnoses that are being slapped on everyone. And maybe you've been hearing us talk about this in the need to expose the mental health complex, which is all about labeling. It is entirely unscientific, and it is driven by prescription sales. The Bible has a better word. And if you haven't thought this is a big deal, listen to this young man. Right after Ray and I were talking about this, he immediately sent this to me. And by the way, props to Ray Comfort. You maybe don't know this about Ray, maybe haven't pondered it, because Ray is so dogged when it comes to evangelism. If Ray were a drummer, he'd have one kettle. That's it. He wouldn't have like a... He'd have one drum. He just keeps banging evangelism, evangelism, evangelism. He's dogged about it, but that does not mean Ray is not a very excellent theologian. He's singular in focus. He wants to see people saved. He who wins souls is wise. So Ray wants to be wise. He wants to be obedient. And you don't typically hear him engaging, but what you're going to hear from Ray, it's like, Ray, that was brilliant. I doubt that Ray has been studying the issue that Greg Gifford's book reveals. And whether he had pondered it or it was intuitive, listen to his response. And how helpful it is, and how hopeful it is, and how much better the Christian way is. This is a young man who's been labeled. There are consequences for bad worldviews being applied to people like this.
I feel like God doesn't like me because, you know, I'm disabled, and I wonder, why would God make someone like that?
What does disabled mean? He's able-bodied, by the way.
I wouldn't think about God not liking you. The Bible says he's the lover of your soul, and he proved his love by Christ dying on the cross. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins?
Listen to that tone. Listen to that tone. It's an evangelistic heart that produces that tone.
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yep.
What's your disability?
I have several, actually. I'm autistic, ADHD, OCD. I also have depression as well.
These people that have labeled all of these kids. And what is his conclusion? Therefore, God must not like me because I'm clearly a broken human being. Worldviews have consequences. The industrial complex of psychology and psychiatry, this is the fruit.
You're doing an interview for YouTube. You've got confidence. You're doing very well. There's nothing wrong with you mentally. I don't know why you'd be depressed. You've got eyes that can see. You can see God's blue sky. You can taste food. You're not in a country where you're starving to death. You've got so many blessings that God's laid upon you. You can think well. And these other things, ADHD, what's that?
Attention deficit hyperactive disorder.
I've got that.
You do.
Most people have got that. I can't.
Listen, this Ray, he's just crushing it. This, okay, what you're hearing right now from Ray is basically Greg's book. You're not a psychiatric label. God made you that way.
People got that. I can't sit still for 2 minutes. It doesn't make me depressed.
True.
It makes me creative. I want to do things. What's the other thing they say you've got?
Obsessive compulsive disorder. For things, for example, like something being unfair or unjust, I will tend to hyperfixate on.
There's all sorts of things that we've got compulsive disorders, but it doesn't mean we're insane. It just means we're human. If you begin thanking God for what you've got, if you're a Christian, you've got everlasting life. If you're trusting in Jesus, that's something to rejoice in. And whatever happens to you, the Bible says God will work out for your good.
Actually, yeah, I've never considered it that way.
And I suspect there are millions just like him. Greg Gifford's book, it can be pre-ordered at fortisinstitute.org/lies. It's going to help young men like this. It offers hope. It offers a better way. And I'm going to have to interrupt my interruption of myself because we could be done with this fellow. But Ray's just so good. I want to hear it.
Real faith produces joy. If I said to you, I'm going to give you $1 million in 2 minutes, and you really believed, you'd have instant joy. If you really believe the promises of God, you'll have instant joy. Bible says you'll have joy and peace in believing. Do you read your Bible daily?
For a while, I haven't. For this reason, my faith has been wavering.
So what say I said to you, I'm feeling really weak today. I haven't eaten for 3 months. What would you say to me?
Why didn't you eat?
Yeah. And the Bible is like food. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if you read God's word daily, it'll be a source of sustenance to you. It'll give you energy. The Bible speaks of meditating on God's law day and night. Meditating is like chewing. Just chew over a few verses, read the words of Jesus, read Psalms or Proverbs, and then let them absorb into your soul and become your energy for that day. And you'll never be the same. The Bible says God will cause whatever you do to prosper if you meditate on his word day and night. That's in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. So be a servant of others and realize there are a lot of people worse off than you, and that'll help you lift your spirits up.
That's a really good point.
Yes, yes, it is a really good point. The Bible has a lot of those really good points because not only is the Bible accurate, it's so hopeful. Rather than being called, I think he called himself disabled. I guess, words change. I understand that, but I hear the word disabled and I think a physical malady. But now, if you got a short attention span, you're disabled. It becomes a label. It becomes who you are. The Bible says, no, that's not who you are. That's how you were made, silly rabbit. Now, God wants to put you to work where you are with the giftings. Who says that a short attention span isn't a gift? Ray Comfort was right. When he said he's got a short attention span, he ain't joking. That dude has got ants in his pants constantly. Has he done anything good for the kingdom? He done any good work sharing the gospel? We just need to find ways for people who are made a particular way, not to disparage and label them and try to get them to conform into our attention span, but to put them to work. Now, if it's deemed that they need a longer attention span, well, we've got a way to work on that too, biblically, not prescriptively. The mental health industrial complex, it's brutal on people. And it's a lie. And that's why Greg's book, I think, is going to be da bomb diggity. You can pre-order your copy, fortisinstitute.org/lies. And I promise to stop interrupting myself because, Jimmy, I was reading an article reviewing the Lenten effort of the liberal progressive theologians to be a Trojan horse to smuggle in progressive politics.
Uh-huh.
And some of these quotes, oh man. So it is your job to determine which of these quotes is more agitating.
Okay.
You ready? So this would be Jim Wallace, who's a signator of this Trojan horse. He's the founder of the faith-based magazine Sojourners. In an article he penned about abortion, Jim Wallace asked, you ready? Is common ground on abortion possible? You say, well, that's worth exploring. No, it's not worth exploring when you remember what the issue is. Nobody would pen an article, is common ground on rape worth exploring? Is common ground on slavery worth exploring? You'd go, no, we have no quarter for that. No, absolutely not. We can't forget what abortion is, honestly. Is common ground on abortion possible? Let me help you. You got a one-word article. No. No, it's not. Then you've got Shane Claiborne. He was at a Washington in evangelical meeting, liberal evangelical meeting in Washington, D.C. Quote from Shane Claiborne, to me, the broad framework for that is for abortion to be legal and safe. And for us to work to make it rarer and rarer and to limit abortion in the later term. Okay, you got to ask a bunch of questions like why? Why do we want to limit it in the later term? If it's okay, it's okay. But this was a commentary from the Christian Post saying, should slavery have been safe, legal, and rarer too? Of course not. It's just a ruse to try to still allow for the atrocity of abortion. All right, Shane Claiborne or Jim Wallace? You got a verdict on which one was worser?
They're about the same. Yeah.
So we have a tie.
I think so.
Is what we have.
Yeah.
The fight for abortion, the fight for life. It's still going on, and make no mistake about it, progressives, they have not exited the arena. They are still in the ring, and they are still, as professing Christians, trying to promote, albeit somewhat subtly, with a religious veneer, the atrocity of abortion. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.